Welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by Mazda. There's a million reasons to drive a BT50, but the number one reason is end of financial year value. Today on the show, we take a little bit of a look at the big naughty Aaron Norton and what he got up to on the weekend. A draft from the past that runs surprisingly deep. Look at GWS, Geelong and Collingwood being in the front seat for the premiership this year. And Carlton, how depressing is it really? If you haven't subscribed to the show, please do so. Leave a rating, leave a review, and hit us up on Instagram at HardballGetsAFL. All right, let's get stuck in. Well, this is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rinn, joined as always on a Monday by Xavier Ellis. How are you, Zay?
Oh, mate, I'm on top of the world. Flying high.
Flying high. What happened to your shoes, mate? You rocked
up
today.
I've lost my shoes, I know. And I was worried because this is obviously your workplace and not mine. If it's mine, I can do it, not whatever I want, but I can feel comfortable just walking around bare feet. So I'm hoping I don't run into anyone of important stature at this establishment.
So you've got what the around the house slippies on? Were they in the back of the car or?
No, they sit below the work desk, mate. So in the morning, I slip them on.
Right.
I've got a bad habit. I don't like wearing shoes. So if a client or someone important's in, the bosses actually have to email me. Save. Just let you know we had the dollhouse in actually during the week.
Oh right.
Interesting.
They require shoes, do they? The dollhouse.
Yeah, well, you know, cover the toes just in case. But like
we describe dollhouse as Perth's version of kittens.
Yes, the Perth version of kittens. Good point. Probably less shootings though.
Yeah, probably less shootings.
But yeah, no, they email me saying clients are in, please consider wearing shoes today.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, I just like going bare feet, mate. And when I forget them, then I have to come into Seven West and wear the moccasins.
Yeah, no, it's a good look, mate. We'll make sure to chuck up a picture of it on the Hardball Gets AFL Instagram page. Around it.
And I've just done Pilates too, believe it or not. Pilates, my fat ass. Anyway, I'm sweating. I'm a pig. I've got moccasins on. So where am I at?
Nah, mate, this is a great start to a Monday. Don't worry. It's quite often the way I wake up on a Sunday. Another good round of footy. I thought there were a few games, there were probably less highlights this round than in previous rounds. Is that fair?
Yes. I mean, and it also ended on a bit of a dampener yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it was 12 to 14 at half time.
Mm.
No goals in the second quarter.
They were desperately trying to talk it up. Oh, this is finals this would be the worst final I've ever seen.
So Brad Hill kicked his goal at the 1 minute mark too in the first quarter, and you're thinking perfect conditions.
And they'd already had a ping.
Jesse Hogan marked from the first centre bounce. You thought the writing was on the wall that it was going to be a bit of a slugfest, but it was a slugfest, all right? Moved really slowly.
Yeah, that one's worth just completely wiping from the memory, except for the fact that your number three for this season, Alex Pierce.
Pierce, dominant.
Yeah, tore up Walker.
Yeah, and the goal Walker kicked. Did he only kick one in the end?
He only kicked one.
Was among snap in the first quarter, I think it might have been, which Alex Pierce couldn't have defended because the bloke didn't mean to kick it there.
Yeah, it was
just a floater. The bloke had a snap, floated, and landed on Texas' chest. So Alex Pierce is by far the best defender in the game at the moment.
Mate, I would say he's well and truly ahead of the pack. And I think it's starting to get noticed around the place as well.
It's funny. And in this instance, it's a good thing because he deserves it. But sometimes I find the media and stuff, someone will highlight a player on a Friday night or something or other. They'll go, gee whiz, how good is player X? And then before you know it, someone's seen it and gone, oh, player X is the best half forward in the game. And then before you know it, you've got one person's opinion, which is now forming half the country's because other people have just, a bit of laziness, have gone, oh, he said he's good, he must be good.
Yeah, why don't we jump on that? One player who does look very, very good, Aaron Norton.
Oh, Aaron Norton, yeah, sorry, I didn't know where you were going. Aaron Norton, he's a 19-year-old. He's just recommitted to the footy club too, to end of 2024.
He signed that deal the day before his breakout game, I think it was.
In April, he signed it. I believe it was released. What's he worth now after the game where he had? Sorry, I was running through it quickly. 14 marks, 9 contested, kicked 5 goals, 3.
That's crazy, isn't it? Seven marks inside 50.
So I turned the West Coast game off and flipped to the Western Bulldogs. had an interest on the Bulldogs, so that's why I sort of skewed towards there. So I just literally was watching it, and with the total of just, I was going to flick it on for 20 and then go back to the Eagles game, Aaron Norton was the reason why I just stayed on that game.
Captivating.
Didn't leave. It was the most dominant forward. I've played in games where Bud's kicked 10s and JK's kicked 10s. But in terms of complete forward game, you know, they both those blokes are lead up, not many pack marks, you know, quick snaps, so skillful.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just a different sort of game from a key position player that we haven't seen in a very long time.
He did it everywhere, didn't he? Like, he would be up for an outlet kick, he would be up on the wing, and the bloke on him just, I don't know how they never got in front of him, but it didn't matter. Didn't matter where they were. He was going to mark.
You heard what Harvick said.
we
could have played Jesus Christ on him and it wouldn't have mattered. So, but one thing I also really enjoyed, he was by far best on ground, and he's 19. Yep. The week before up against Fremantle, I went along and watched, started forward, got his ass handed to him that badly, ended up playing going back. One of the worst games he's probably played in his career, I reckon, Norton against Fremantle. Right. 7 days later, he's pulled on that performance. Like a young kid to, obviously he's a confident sort of guy, but
yeah,
it would have been so easy for him to have, you know, lost all his confidence and tried not to put himself in a position where he's potentially beaten.
Mm.
To have 9 contested marks, it was unbelievable.
And yes, Richmond have got some defenders out, but Grimes is still there.
And I love, but talking about what I also loved, I love the cheek.
Yeah.
He took a mark and he would let the person know he was playing on, he'd taken the mark. Like a bit of shove after it, a bit of shove. Don't know what he was saying, but hopefully he was. Just let him know he's 19 and what he was doing to them. Like it was something that as a defender, you're just like, shut that kid up.
But you can't. Can somebody please stop
him? His footy's doing the talking. When his footy's doing the talking, the mouth can start doing the talking.
So in the aftermath of that, a stat came up which surprised me, that he was 4th in the best and fairest last year in his first year of footy.
Yeah.
And that was playing as a back. So,
yes.
And I mean, we've taken our hit already on this, that we didn't think Norton forward was the thing.
No.
Now he looks like the best young forward in the game.
It's funny, 7 days earlier, though, he would have said, I reckon that forward experiment's not working.
Yeah, but might have been thrown back.
What do you reckon he'd be worth now if he hadn't signed? Say he was still on his rookie contract, which would be around 80 or 90 or whatever it is, plus match payments. So
Tom Boyd got a mil plus the season and he hadn't actually done anything.
Yeah, but that was a bit of an up yours too, I reckon.
Yeah, they had to fire back a little bit, but it also shows you the value of a young key forward who you think is going to play.
I don't know what he signed. He might have even signed for it, but I'd say 800.
Yeah, I'd say 800 comfortably.
Not the poor bugger. I mean, we're splitting heads. It was probably 600, 800.
Yeah, even if it was five, if 5 to 6, he's still unders, you'd be like, oh.
Christ. What about that? Imagine that sliding into your bank account.
I think it'd be very nice, wouldn't it?
just on the 15th of the month.
But what it could have been if you waited a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and Josh Kelly's contract, and I know Josh Kelly's done it for a long period of time, the 2 years, which then triggers the next 8 years or something. I mean, he probably could have got, if he wanted, another few years on the end of that, if he had have stayed.
As a trigger.
If he had not signed, he could have signed a 7 or 8 year deal, I reckon.
Or he could have just waited. Yeah, he could have waited a little bit longer and just gone, North Melbourne, what are you?
Because
North Melbourne will put some money on the table.
Poor old North. I will give you 1.5. Beautiful.
Guys, they're going to take me 1.5.
I'll take the doggies 900. Thank you, North, again, for being the bridesmaid in the negotiations.
Oh, poor North Melbourne. They're just, they're no good.
But the doggies were good and Bont was good.
Yeah, Bont was great. Even the fact that I'm willing to say Norton was best on ground. Yeah. There are other people who said that Bont was best on ground. And
mate,
I'm like,
Introduce them to me.
Oh, I think, was it even, Kane Corns.
Kane
Corns is one.
I don't mind Kane.
I like Kane.
I like the way he can spark a bit of controversy too. I think sometimes he just likes to scrap. I mean, the way he played, like he was the best tagger in the game there for a while.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's great.
He just throws the line out there and he'll catch a few daily. But no way in the world was Bont best on ground.
He was second best on ground, but he wasn't best on ground. Norton was tore it up. But
Bont
finished with 27, 7 clearances, 3 goals, 9 marks. Like, good game, but Norton.
Yeah, not Norton. What about the little fella?
Oh, Caleb Gardner. Yeah. See, it's like can't get him caught in that back spot. Everything else about him back being back seems to work, except when he gets transferred.
100%. And on the weekend, there was another one where he's tiny. I don't know who he was running against. He was taking two steps to the other person's one, and he got then he sorted it out this time. But we had spoken about a few weeks earlier how it just looks so disjointed that he ends up on the last line. But he's getting over 30. He had 36 on the weekend. He's had around that nearly every week since he's been back there.
It's always a good decision maker, good kick.
And you get the kick-ins. I get that. So he's probably pinching a few there. But I've watched on the weekend, he was sort of dumping it short and then running past for the handball, then kicking it long again or pinpointing one. So, yeah, technically he's getting a cheap one there, but he's actually been creative with it. The ones who take the one step out of the goal square, get the stat, and then just dump
bomb it.
Yeah, no, Caleb Daniels actually got me convinced this year. He's going super.
Yeah, he's going at a rate where I wouldn't be surprised if he pushes for that 40-man squad.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Mm. If the Doggies can hang around the final spot,
he'll be there.
Well,
around the mark.
Around the mark. I mean, Shannon Hearn for West Coast been pretty impressive at half back.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of cheapies, though.
Yeah, stats. No, I agree. I'm just trying to think off the top of the head who's half backing at the moment. There'll be a couple at Geelong. They've always got a couple of good half backs.
Yeah, Stewart will get in there.
Stewart.
Again, it's hard to tell. Geelong have been so good across the board that individuals aren't standing out.
Did you think they were going to smack Essendon yesterday?
I thought. Yeah, well, I don't know what it is inside me, but I don't ever go fully in on Essendon, so I still thought Geelong would get done pretty easily. But after watching a bit of the game, I thought Essendon would be closer.
Ablett?
How good is he? How old is he? 100 years old. But he's even coming back into the midfield for a bit. He's got the confidence up. He said, okay, boys, get out of the way. I'm back.
The massive difference is when Gary Ablett playing forward doesn't chase too hard, in the end, the player runs into the midfielders a little bit. But when he's in the mids and not chasing, it opens up
a
really dangerous part of the ground. I'm not saying he's not chasing, but last year he wasn't the most defensive player.
Have we spoken about how they got other people into chase now?
That's right. And little Dalhouse and those guys go like an absolute madman.
They can do that.
Hey, quick one, actually. Did you see the pregame before the Essendon-Geelong game? They played the VFL match, Geelong v Essendon-VFL. The interview post-game, Georgie Parker did the interview. Of a young kid, they're like, what was the celebration? He goes, it's worth finding, Google it or finding on Twitter. He goes, something like, because it's country round. Was it country round or farm round?
It was country week.
Because it's the country game, I've been hearing the bumblebees are under a fair bit of pressure and on the border of being extinct. So I dedicated my celebration to the bumblebee. He kicked the hot dog and then flew around like a bumblebee on the MCG. one of the better celebrations you'll see.
Well,
just openly said it was to the bumblebee.
All right, we'll get that one on the Hardball Gets AFL Instagram feed then. On Norton, just to the final point on him. If I'll run you through the top 10 in this draft.
Yeah.
So he was taken at 9.
Yep.
And let me know who you'd pick ahead of him. Rayner?
No.
Brayshaw?
No.
Paddy Dow?
Nope.
Davies Uniacke?
No.
Chera?
No.
Jaden Stevenson?
Oh, no, it's hard. If you had done this with me last week. Stevenson played a bloody good game too on the weekend. He kicked three in a row or something. I think you'd still obviously go Norton.
Yeah. Hunter Clark?
No. That's St Kilda, isn't it?
Nick Caulfield is not getting a game at St Kilda at the moment. Norton.
Yeah, Norton's your number one.
Norton's your number one, which is... Frio are lucky they got Jesse Hogan and Roy Lobbin, but if they hadn't, they would be copping it bad.
I believe that they had him on the radar big time.
He was playing for their waffle club.
Yes, but believe potentially, because he was a shaky kick.
Yeah, they thought his kick was
too
bad.
That he may have been out. You wouldn't off the top of your head when Frio's next pick was in the draft?
Oh, after those two?
Yeah.
I think it was it was a decent way in.
Okay. I think maybe they thought... It was too big of a reach at 2 and 5.
Yeah.
Potentially slipping down a little bit. I played against him at Peel and he was fantastic.
And they thought he was a key defender as well.
A shaky kick key defender.
Mm.
And now he's gone forward.
That's good draft for Western Bulldogs.
Yes.
And Ed Richards, I love him. I love watching
that goal
Ed
on the weekend
play.
Where he just rolled around the bloke on the mark. Kids that can do that, you just think, how are they so confident?
Yeah.
Like... They would have done that to a couple of old buggers. Dale Morris or someone would have been on the mark in an intro club and they've run around him. You know, it's just the confidence they've got. It's good for footy, those kids that do it. I think we've probably beating it out of players a bit too much.
Yeah, yeah.
With structures and strategies.
Telling them to be structures and, like, these are your options, just do one of these.
See, one thing I don't understand, and I never did it, but when you're 60 metres out and there's nothing happening, why wouldn't you just try and sink the slipper into a torp? If you get it.
Fair enough.
It's going. If you don't, no one knows where it's going. If you're just kicking a drop punt to the top of the square, everyone knows it's going to the top of the square.
Mm.
So the ruckman, everyone just gets there. You've got eight people jumping. If you sink the slipper into a torp and it goes 40 metres but dips and, you know, an ugly punt, it's more likely going to land on a chest than it is at the top of the goal square. That's just something I've been annoyed with lately. I'd just love to see the torp being brought back in.
Bring back the torp.
Yeah. Every now and then. Because Simo lets Jetta and those guys kick a barrel out of fullback.
Yeah.
If you're feeling confident and you get... Well, the Jetta kicks it. Jetta kick. Yeah, if you can do it, do it.
Mm.
Whereas I think if you're going forward, if you can't even do it, it still could be anything.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought of that. Anyway.
No, that's all right.
That's what happens when I'm drinking.
Set up your assisted coach platform on Bring Back the Torp.
Yeah, when you've had too many single fins. That's what happens. You think about torps.
Yeah, I'm still paying for that slab as well.
That slab's well gone by now. Well, but I think I'll be giving it back. JK's just a fraction off.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that one. I'm pretty happy about that one. What is it, 50, you know?
50.
Over under 50.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty pleased with that one. Talking about premiership favourites.
Yeah.
So the conversation probably extends now to teams that we think can win it. Geelong, GWS and Collingwood. Is that fair?
You'd be mad at the moment on what you've seen to be backing anyone else.
Yep.
You'd be, obviously, Geelong are looking pretty good.
Yeah, they just don't. They haven't had
There's no weak spots.
No.
I can't find that weakness coming through at Geelong. Maybe forwards might die. You just look at it and go, their mids are so strong. Defence, the units, you know, Dirk Nowitzki down there still marshalling the troops, old Harry Taylor. Like, they're so strong.
Yep.
And then you've got the forwards with Hawkins, Ablett.
Yeah, Ablett just hitting peak form. And
yeah, maybe Mitch Duncan chimed in with a few. They're good.
Whether Ablett can hold it is probably the difference between, like,
I think
absolutely.
I think he's the least of their worries.
Yeah.
I think absolute least. He's not going anywhere.
At that age, you think he's going to be able to hold this form the whole year?
100%. Not a concern in the world.
I suppose it's been a long time since you doubted him.
I'd be more worried about a Reece Stanley.
Australian ruckman Reece Stanley.
Yeah, like a Reece Stanley, a Tim Kelly.
Yep.
I think the issue might be around them fading. I think Gary Ablett's performance will be fine.
Yeah, I was looking at a stat that I like. These guys at Hurling People Now, a couple of stats guys out of Canberra, created like this algorithm for what they consider the best player. It's like not just disposals and things. It's everything line by line and your contribution to the team as a whole.
Yeah.
So it's a real complex stat. I like it a lot.
It's probably not something I came up with.
No, it's some serious work gone into it over a few years as well.
Oh, right.
But it has Reece Stanley.
Who are they again?
Hurling People Now. HPNfooty.com. I'll chuck a link out to it on Twitter. But I really like, I find it, it's my preferred stat to like justify when I make calls about players and where they sit. And he's got Reece Stanley like in the probably the best, both five most effective players of the year.
You look at the game and you think, no way. But then you look at the result and they've got no other ruckman.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have him in the top five, but the proof's in the pudding a little bit.
It is. Well, yeah.
Six wins.
He's kicked a few goals and their midfield's humming. Having a big part of that.
Could have easily beaten GWS too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should be 7-0 or could be 7-0.
It's as much as it's the same teams. You like to see the fresh sides winning premierships. So Western Bulldogs was really good.
Yeah.
When West Coast bobbed up, West Coast have always been around the mark, so that wasn't exactly a fairy tale story. Richmond probably was because they haven't won one for so long. But sometimes you just have to tip your hat to clubs who can manage
Geelong,
to stay at that level.
Yeah, well, Geelong won one in 11.
Probably has been a while. I'm just still scarred.
Yeah, but like you could, I wouldn't have backed them with your money to win the flag this year at the start of the year. Like, I thought they were, I don't know, maybe I had them in the eight, but you know, down the bottom of the eight. They're 7-6-1. How would Collingwood and GWS, like, if you had to choose the premier today, you've knocked it down to three.
Mm.
Now knock it down to one. Who do you think is premiership material?
My gut still says GWS.
We're all in, aren't we?
I think we are, right? We're going to ride this train right to the end.
But even like on the weekend, no Whitfield, no Kelly. Not in a good thing in terms of they're missing games again.
Mm.
Is it one of those things you reckon? Because they've got an easy run now. They've got Hawthorn this week off the top of my head. And then in there, there's something like Hawthorn, Melbourne, Gold Coast, Carlton are in there.
Yeah, that's
so,
a fair run.
Do you think it might be, righto, we've started. Our hard block was the first block. We've started really well.
Give them a mid-season rest and then run them in.
Yeah, is your adductor that sore, Josh? We're in Canberra. We're playing St Kilda minus
gonna be cold.
Jack Stephen minus three quarters of their top-end players. Do we rest Whitfield, or are they not in the position to do that?
No, they probably are, aren't they? Yeah, I think they would look at it and think that they know when they want those blokes fit for.
Yeah.
And it's not now.
I just hope it's like that. I hope they're not getting a wretched run.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Because that has happened to them, and it's happened in big finals as well, where guys just get taken out. Fits the narrative that Dylan Shield was a big loss in that game, even though we're telling you how bad he is
now. Do you notice he didn't kick much yesterday?
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't spot that much.
So at the start of the game, it was something like one kick to eight handballs or something along those lines. I'll just quickly...
Well, there was a bit of talk around... there was an article came out, I think, last week about how many of his kicks resulted in direct turnovers and goals.
Yeah.
And he was one of the leading players in the comp in that stat.
So he had the most disposals yesterday with 33, and he had 22 handballs. So yeah, he's obviously... So
there's obviously something going on. Because what does he do? He bursts out of packs and kicks it.
Yeah. Well, he did that yesterday and lobbed a few handballs and that sort of stuff. Like, you don't want to see that because I think he is...
It means it's in his head.
Yes, and he is a good player. But potentially... Potentially, maybe, and he's probably been reading what's being said, I think.
Yeah,
disposal efficiency is 72%, so it'd be interesting to see what he's kicking it at.
So I'll shout out to the AFL Exchange boys, Mitch Cleary.
Mate, how many people are you shouting out to?
Well, I'll give a few plugs. I was listening to their potty, and Mitch Cleary, he said he sent out a tweet saying that Dylan Shield could be a top three player if he could kick. Like, if he could kick on the run.
Yeah.
And then the next week he was in the Essendon rooms before he was interviewing Dylan Shield after the loss, and Shield said, if only I could kick, eh?
Oh, I pulled him up. Great. Lovely.
But probably a fair call, to be honest with you. Now, you had a bit of feedback from a family member that's alerted us to something pretty special.
Yeah, no, the brother-in-law. So we were talking about Petrarca last week and where he'd fit in the draft and all that sort of stuff. And the brother-in-law just gave me a little text message saying, listen to the podcast, the 2014 draft was pretty weak, his feedback on Petrarca. But also said, throw your eyes over the 2013 draft in comparison to the 14.
And it's crazy.
It is that draft is, I think it's in the Hodgeball Judd.
It might even be for depth.
Yeah,
it might be better than that draft.
I think it could be the draft of all drafts.
Yeah. So reading, I'll go through even the first 15, the amount of guns.
So this is 1 to 15, then you pick the other players down the line as well.
Yeah. So one was Tom Boyd, GWS.
Not a great start, but
no. And then Josh Kelly.
Yep.
Jack Billings, who's come into it now. The Bont at 4. Cade Kolodziejczyk, which is probably a miss. Had a bit of injuries and stuff.
Yeah,
and
but
still
it's nowhere near the calibre of the players coming.
Matty Schoenberg at 6. He's had injuries as well, but when he was out there, he was a good player. Yeah, two, maybe three now.
Yeah.
James Aish at 7. Luke McDonald at North at 8.
Yeah.
Solid. Christian Salem at 9. Nathan Freeman at 10.
So you'd say in that start, you just go Josh Kelly, Bont,
Billings.
And Billings are probably the three.
They're the winners.
So I haven't really sold the point yet, have I?
No, but it gets deep. So we go into Sheed at 11, solid contributor. Paddy Cripps at 13.
Yep.
In 12 was a Ben Lennon.
It's funny. I'm just thinking now, and I hadn't thought about this. I was going to say, gee whiz, West Coast missed Paddy Cripps. West Coast would take Dom Sheed 10 times over and again another 10 on grand final day.
Yeah.
They've justified that draft pick with one kick of the football.
He's done that. It's like Tom Boyd justified the money that they paid him for one game.
Dom Sheed is West Coast. No one could say, imagine if West Coast had Paddy Cripps.
Because
guess what? They had Dom Sheed and he kicked the goal on his left from the boundary line to win a premiership.
Yeah. Cam McCarthy was after Cripps at 14. Had a good start, but probably hasn't delivered after that. And Zach Jones. I like Zach Jones a lot.
Yeah, he'd be one of those players if he wasn't in Sydney, if he was at a Collingwood or something, he'd be a fan favourite, wouldn't he?
So the first 15 is probably, you say it's not like doesn't knock you out of the park, but there are.
It's not, yeah.
You've got two genuine
Brownlow
A-plus graders in Kelly and Bont, and then you've got a Billings who's really coming into it. Oh, no, sorry, three A-plus-plus graders, Cripps, Bont, and Kelly.
Can we just, people who keep saying emerging star Josh Kelly articles, let's just pull the pin on emerging.
He's not emerging. How old is he? He's signed his second extension.
He's as good as any player in the competition in the midfield.
Yeah, you could say Jack Billings is emerging as a star.
Emerging. But he's emerging.
Josh
at the moment,
Kelly
yes.
has not. It's, well, how can you say he's
he
emerging?
He has emerged.
That just means that you haven't watched any GWS games.
Luke Shuey sent me a photo of it out of an article during the week and said, mate, this is because he's a massive fan of Josh Kelly.
Yeah, yeah.
Himself and just keeps circling emerging star. Let's listen. He is a star and a superstar.
He emerged 4 years ago.
Yeah.
then we get down to, so 15, there's a couple in that late teen range. 19, Blake Akers. I really like Blake Akers. I think he's got a lot of upside still.
Christ, maybe I've gone too early on this Hodge draft.
Jarman Impey at 21.
Jarman Impey's a good player.
Good player. Matt Crouch at 23.
Good player.
Good player. Zach Merritt at 26.
All Australian.
This is when we start getting good.
Yeah. Zach Merritt, gun.
Louis Taylor at 28.
No rising star, but I mean, probably... Not in the upper echelon, but...
No, but he's solid enough.
He's going to play in the 22,
Rory Lobb at 29.
Rory Lobb, good money.
Yeah. Toby Nankervis at 35.
He's only
Premiership
young.
Ruckman. Yeah. Yeah, he spent a couple of years at Sydney and then came back and played straight away.
I would have thought he would have spent 7 or 8 years at Sydney.
No, yeah, he was really wasn't there for that long. 37, your man Alex Pearce.
Pearce, All-Australian fullback.
Yeah, and then 41, another good fullback. Playing well with Geelong at the moment, Jake Colajazzini.
Yep.
Probably gone past his brother.
Yeah, he has.
43, Premiership defender Tom Barass.
Tommy Barass. I redid my top 10 and he slides in it. He's the Jeremy McGovern of West Coast, but just 2 years after Jeremy McGovern, so now he actually has to defend. No, not saying Gov doesn't defend, but like he can. Tom Barass, if you look at the vision against GWS last year when Gov was out.
Mm-hmm.
Barass, I think, was best on ground and played a bit of freewheeling, marking at the highest point. He is, unfortunately for Barass, just 2 years behind Gov, so he's going to have to do the dog shift for a while.
Gov's in a great grand final, Tom Barass, too.
Yeah.
On
good player. Very good player.
There's a few good fullbacks. 44, Alir Alir,
but I said All Australian this year.
Yeah, you did say All Australian this
good
year.
Good haircut, though.
47, Ben Brown.
Big Benny Brown. I mean, that run-up's ridiculous.
Oh, but
kicked 4 goals and a half yesterday. I thought he was going to kick 10.
Yeah.
I thought the floodgates had opened against Carlton.
It'd be tough being a forward leading to that midfield.
Oh, no, but like, not when you're playing witches' hats.
Yeah.
Christ, Carlton are bad.
That was next level bad.
They're lucky that wasn't Geelong, or they're lucky that wasn't GWS or Collingwood, because that had shades of what Geelong did to Melbourne down at Skilled Stadium back in the day, where they put 200 on them.
I remember that game. Oh, we'll go back to Carlton in a second. 55, Horacio Fantasia.
Good player. 50... Just want him to stop doing hamstrings or groins or whatever he's dealing with.
Yeah, I think it's hammies.
He gets to that level that you're excited and then he comes out again.
Yeah, done. 56, another A-grader, James Sicily.
I reckon Hawthorne need to play him forward.
You reckon?
Yep. I reckon they're better to go bugger it. Let's just put Gunston, Sicily, Bruce, Roughhead.
Just stack it.
And Wingard forward. There's just not a lot of fear in Hawthorn at the moment, I don't reckon.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, they're trash, mate. They're like, in Melbourne, that was a bin on fire yesterday.
But you're better to lose at least if you get it in 50 times. If you go right, O'Meara, Shields. Don't forget Brownlow medalist Tom Mitch is injured. If you can get in 50 times and go, at least you've got it in.
Yeah.
If those players who are all Australians, all of them, I've just mentioned, five of them, it's up to them.
Someone's going. Is that worth doing this year when like your Mitchells and stuff are still out, or do you just year's done?
I don't think Clarko would pull the pin on the season.
Mm.
But I do think they just need to load that forward line up and just hope for the best.
Yeah, righto. Two more, Jaden Hunt at 57, Tom Langdon at 65. So it's not – it's a deep draft in terms of best 22
and down
players
the bottom, there was a,
and best 15
there was a couple of promotions.
There were rookie
McGovern,
promotions, McGovern and
– Rampy.
Tabanar,
those sort of guys. But
so it's a stacked draft
deep.
With some genuine A-plus-pluses at the top.
Well, think about the All-Australians in that draft. I've just quickly gone through who I'd take from 1 to 10, and I went Bont, number one. Kelly, number two, All-Australian, All-Australian. Cripps, All-Australian. Merritt, All-Australian. Zach Merritt's been All-Australian, hasn't he?
He would be in. He's probably in the squad.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, I think he was.
Yeah. Well, I put McGovern in, who was obviously an elevation, but All-Australian. Crouch, All-Australian. Sicily, All-Australian. So, Barras, Premiership player.
So who's your 1, 2, 3?
Bont, Kelly, Cripps. Pretty simple. Merritt, 4.
Bont, Kelly, Cripps in that order, or?
Yep. Yep.
She's probably not wrong.
I'm a big Zach Merritt man.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if Cripps needs to be high, like if you'd wait for 3 for Cripps.
Oh, I'm not taking Cripps over Bont or Kelly. Just not doing it.
Is that just because they're great dinner companions, or?
Yeah, they're good fun over a beer. But, no, I don't know.
I am leaning towards your selection. That raises the flag with me that Cripps at 3.
They're just slightly different players, aren't they?
Yeah, well, those two I trust more in the out. Cripps hasn't had a chance to go outside.
One's the cream. You'd say Bont and Kelly are cream.
Yeah.
And one's the foundation.
Yeah. If I'm going to the footy, I'd rather watch those two ahead of Cripps.
Yeah.
But I still like what Cripps
I've noticed the last couple of weeks, too. Cripps has just been slow out of the blocks. Hopefully it's not
feeling the load.
Like one disposal early against Hawthorn, when they were going bananas, he couldn't find the footy.
Mm.
Yesterday, couldn't find the footy early. It gets into the game. I think he had 28 or something in the end. But, like, hopefully Cripps just doesn't get... Because it's so early in the game, they just go, bugger it, we're just going to bash him.
Yeah.
You know, physically, don't let him get a kick. Poor bugger, he's carrying that team.
So we did slightly oversell that 2013 draft, but it's very deep.
Yeah, we did. But there's some good players. There's probably
very good
potentially
players.
4 Brownlow medalists.
Yeah, which is as good as you can hope for from a draft.
4 or 5.
Yeah, and lots and lots of all Australians.
Yes,
it's good.
Okay.
And the rookie elevations. I'll probably match that. Your 1, 2, 3 with Bont, Kelly.
Yeah,
Cripps. Yeah, I think so.
Are you worried about Carlton?
Well, this is. I don't really. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because I don't care about them that much, but there's certain players in there that I really enjoy watching and have a bit of, like, emotional investment in, I suppose you could say. Like, Zach Fisher and Sam Petrevsky-Seaton. I like watching Charlie Curnow when he's up and about.
How long's Charlie Curnow been around for?
It's be fourth year.
You know, like, the poor bugger hasn't had a lot of fun, has he, with football?
No.
Like, there's no fun in getting smashed every week. Fisher, no fun. Sam Walsh, like, he can't, like, obviously he's just enjoying the ride of AFL footy, he almost deserves better as a youngster. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Paddy Cripps mustn't have had a good time.
No.
But I did say yesterday to someone, so look at Collingwood's, everyone's got the salary cap, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whatever the number is. Do you know off the top of your head?
What is it, like 11 or 14?
Everyone, 11 or 14 million.
11 or 14.
I mean, I'm not going to, thanks for the rough ballpark,
no
$3 million dollar figure.
I'm going to bring it up.
But Carlton, and you can still pay a percentage, can't you, of salary cap?
I think you can bank a little bit, but you have to pay the next year.
You almost have to pay maximum salary cap.
So
Carlton are paying their players equal to the same amount Collingwood are earning.
Yeah.
So think about the players, not like the Pendlebury's and that sort of stuff, because they're obviously earning top buck. But think about the Crisps and those sort of players that are down the line.
Just thinking, what could I get?
Carlton's second best player and probably earning 750, are probably on the 300s.
Yeah, they'd be somewhere close.
Do you know what I mean? Those Carlton players still are getting their pants pulled. And
$12 mil. 12.7.
Do you know what I mean? So they're still earning the same amount of money as the good teams.
Well, according to this, you can't, like, the least you can pay is 12.1. That's your bottom, like, you have to pay that.
So do you know what I mean? Like, there's some players there that are obviously making ginormous cash who probably wouldn't get a game in Collingwood.
No, well, and this is probably like, you know, you got your, Daisy did something with this deal the other year, didn't he? But
yeah, he went back to the table because there was a trigger in his contract.
It's like
if he played 12 games, he would get a triggered contract.
Yep.
So he just went and said, just remove the trigger. If you feel like I deserve another year, we'll negotiate.
Yeah.
Because
there's
going to be the stage where they go, oh, Daisy's one game from his trigger. Like, shit, we're not going to play him.
Yeah.
You don't want that as a player. If you're good enough to play, play me.
And it's a danger of triggers,
point.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that was his point. Was, if I'm good enough to play, yep, we'll do a contract. And I think that's a good way to do it.
Yeah. I like how fans think that the clubs are so upstanding when it comes to things like this. And like we've talked about before, the best and fairest, the best and fairest, all of a sudden the votes dry up.
Yeah.
And people just don't believe it happens. And you get nuffies hitting you up all the time saying that they're gonna, you should, that clubs should sue you for defamation.
Oh,
you
know, I'm certain.
I think there's a bit of truth defence to that. I'm sorry, mate.
I'm certain that, and it's, that's why Sam Mitchell and those guys don't have it in their best, in their contracts.
Because they know what's going to happen.
And like, just, but also, you don't want to think that the football clubs have fixed you.
Yeah.
You want to be a believer in it all.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you like to have that sort of...
And for the sake of those guys, 50 grand's a lot of money or whatever their bonus would be, but they'd rather win the best and fairest.
Yeah, exactly. You'd rather have that on your CV,
yeah,
going
100%.
Out. But yeah, I just don't... I don't know that I care enough about Carlton. I enjoy watching them when they're up and about, but if they're not, like, it doesn't really... But yeah, like, we've spoken about this before. I've never known Carlton as a good side. So there's no attachment there.
They did something at halftime with the Carlton doing their quarter... review or something.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. We've won this many quarters.
Six, and they've
just
won
think,
12
oh,
quarters
mate.
Out of 24, but I get that. That's a stat.
Yeah.
I get it. Yep.
You got to give them something, I suppose.
When you're getting done by 10 goals in the first half, or 11 goals, or whatever it was, does it matter what happens after half time? Like, I think Carlton might have won the last quarter yesterday.
Yeah, probably. So at the end of the day, they put the queue in the rack.
End of the day, they went, yeah. So what's the point? It's such a. If you're losing quarters by 10 goals and the game's over, you can win the next three by a point. And your stat at the quarter mark looks great.
Yeah.
You've still had your pants pulled down.
I think, unfortunately...
you've got to look for hope. You do.
Brendan Bolton's going to start to cop it now because St. Kilda, like, Richardson's seemingly off the chopping block for now. It seems like the arrow's being pointed at Bolton. Barrett seems to write about him every week on a Sunday afternoon.
What,
Damien
chases
Barrett.
Him? Or?
Oh, just writing it that, you know, this doesn't deserve another contract and blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Oh, right, does he? See, I don't look too much into that.
It's starting to get the... And it's going to come. And so, Carlton have been known to cop the pressure.
Does he not have a contract as such?
They know. They think they started like that and then he did a contract.
They
he started as a full-time employee who could
just
be sacked at any point.
They just rolled over.
That was to try and get out of the... Because the salary cap on the football department now means if you sack them, you got to pay double anything you go over. So
oh, right.
Anything you go over the salary cap, you got to pay again in a tax. So that's why coaches aren't getting sacked with 2 and 3 years remaining on their contract because the bill just is enormous.
Yeah, in the end, though.
If you can wear it, wear it.
Yeah, good, big clubs can wear it.
Yeah, I think Carlton, oh, I can't remember what kind of handouts Carlton get. They're not in the St Kilda level, but...
No, but for example, if Eddie Maguire, it's because Bucks is doing such a good job now.
But
if Eddie Maguire had to move him, he'd just... Can you imagine Eddie Maguire sitting on his hands?
Yeah, oh, well, you don't want to pay that extra.
Can you imagine
grand.
Trevor Nisbet at West Coast sitting on his hands? Like,
yeah, it doesn't happen at good clubs, does
yeah.
it? Anything else from the weekend catch your eye? It was that kind of a weekend, wasn't it? Yeah, there was Norton was like the ronk game. Everyone just got excited.
It started with a fizzer, though.
Yeah.
Port Adelaide blown out of the water early.
Just no good.
It just didn't catch me.
Mm.
Norton was the only thing that really caught me.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. Mm. Particularly, it started with a fizzer and it ended with an absolute fizzer.
An absolute fizzer.
Yeah, it wasn't great bookends on the
weekend.
I
would have loved Freo just to pinch it, though.
Yeah.
It's a crap game, but just get the 4 points. 2 weeks' time, no one will be talking about it.
Yeah. As much as I have a mantra that, you know, umpiring never really decides a game, as a Freo supporter watching that Eddie Betts and the goal kicked immediately after in a 4-goal game, got me a little bit upset.
Brad Hill shouldn't have been throwing the grass.
No.
But that was holding the ball.
Yeah.
And I'm sure enough, that's probably out now. The umpire department that was a correct decision.
He did not have prior opportunity, even though he took eight steps.
He nearly got done for running too far. Yeah. He bloody went that far. But the umpiring appreciation stuff this week it was, which was great. And it's really sad, actually, to see that kid in Perth harassed. So... Ban those people from every, not just footballing events, ban them from every event in Australia, surely.
Yeah.
Major events have got the ability to ban people as a whole.
How would you feel as a kid, as the kid of that parent?
Well, if
it was
the kid that was getting sent off,
yeah,
he's probably a rat bag anyway.
Yeah, well, there's every chance. But this is, maybe the penalties need to go to the kids to teach the parents a lesson.
Well, but then what do you say? You're punishing the kid for your parent being an arsehat.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, it's tough.
What do you do? The 11-year-old kid's not controlling the mother. But if you can't control, I just don't get it. They're not playing for money. They're not playing for anything.
Some people don't have anything else
There's
in their lives,
There's a young
lives,
kid
obviously.
Out there probably earning a pie and coke to do it. Yeah, that really made me bloody angry yesterday.
And I wonder why there's a problem with umpire numbers.
Yes. And I mean, we talk about it and we just bagged them then, but like... There's a bagging, and I think as an umpire, you probably expect
sometimes you get a couple of blues and you
but
just
you expect,
wear it.
You expect it as an umpire that you're going to cop a little bit of criticism and whatever, but like the moment you at all consider anything physical on an umpire, it's
you're good.
Lock them up.
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see what comes out of that. Next week, we're going to do a mailbag.
Oh.
Bit of a question and answer. So anyone out there who's got some questions, drop us a line on Twitter at Nick Rynne, N-I-C-K-R-Y-N-N-E, or at Xavi Ellis,
Z-A-X-A-V-I-Ellis-18.
X-A-V-I-Ellis-18.
Yeah.
Xavi Ellis.
I think if you just search the name or something.
You'll find it. You'll be able to find him. Or on the Instagram at HardballGetsAFL.
Very nice. I get some people not being nice sometimes.
I did see some people being a bit mean to you. What's going on there, mate? Have you upset them?
I just call them nasty bastards.
If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do that. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. Hit a nice milestone last week with downloads, so thanks to everybody who's listening as well. This has been the Hardball Gets AFL show with thanks to Mazda. There's a million reasons to drive a BT50, but the number one reason is end of financial year value. We'll see you next time.